So today we are having His Grace Bhakti Vinod Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
I don't see him yet, Mataji. Just let's wait for like a few minutes.
Okay, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for joining. Pavitra Mataji, Mataji.
Yes, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all those to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your valuable association. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Now you can continue class. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, Hare Krishna. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासुदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्ण सो विल स्टार्ट रीडिंग द वर्सेस फ्रॉम मदलेला 19190 सख्य भक्त श्री दामादि पुरे भीमार्जुन वात्सल्य भक्त माता पिता यथा गुरुजना इन वृंदावन Examples of devotees in a fraternity are Sridham and Sudhama. In Dwaraka, the Lord's friends are Bhima and Arjuna. In Vrindavan, the devotees in parental love are Mother Yashoda and Father Nanda Maharaja. And in Dwaraka, the Lord's parents are Vasudeva and Devaki. And there are also other superior persons who are devotees in parental love. We'll read the next verse. Madhura rase bhakta mukya brajagopi gana mahishi gana lakshmi gana ashankya ganana. The chief devotees in conjugal love are the gopis in Vrindavana, the queens in Dwaraka, and the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. These devotees are innumerable. So I'm going to be reading the next verses as well. We'll read till the verse that talks about the universal form and about Devaki Nandama, Vasudeva and Devaki once again. Puna Krishna Ratihaya Duiti Prakara Aishwarya Jnana Mishra Kevala Beda Ara. Attachment for Krishna is divided into two categories. One is attachment with awe and reverence, and the other is pure attachment without reverence. So in the history of propagation of bhakti, there has been both, actually. Bhakti with the mode of awe and reverence, and bhakti with attachment without reverence, because both exists in the spiritual realm. So Mahaprabhu's main dispensation of bhakti is bhakti in Gokula Vrindavan, where awe and reverence is not there. In verse 193, Gokule Kevalarati Aishwarya Jnanahina Puri Dvaye Vaikunthadye Aishwarya Praveena. Pure attachment without reverence is found in Gokula Vrindavan. Attachment in which awe and reverence are prominent is found in two cities, Mathura and Dwaraka, and in Vaikuntha. Aishwarya Jnana Pradanye Sankuchita Preeti Dekhiyana Mane Aishwarya Kevalara Riti. When opulence is very prominent, love of Godhead is somewhat crippled. According to Kevala devotion, however, even though the devotee sees the unlimited potency of Krishna, he considers himself equal to him. So that's one thing, that in awe and reverence, we are subordinate. The servant feels subordinate because of the knowledge of the Lord. Whereas in the other devotion that doesn't have the awe and reverence, sometimes even the Lord is considered lower. For example, in the parental love, they see him, even parental love, of, not all parental love, but just Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, they see Krishna as subordinate to him, just an ordinary another child who needs help. And then call the friends of Krishna, see Krishna as equals. So all the lovers of Krishna, they see him as equal. So because otherwise, with awe and reverence, you cannot have that kind of a relationship, the relationships of a lover or of like a fraternity, like a friend or parental relationship. So it's either Krishna's an ordinary person who needs my help, that kind of a relation, or he's equal to me. He's equal to him. So that's how the friends, then only they can play with Krishna, jump over Krishna's shoulders and give Krishna's pleasure, Krishna pleasure that way. Because this happens without their, without any sankalpa in them. They don't have the sankalpa that I have to please Krishna and I'm doing this, but it's enacted by the Yogamaya potency. Shantadasye rase aishwarya kahan udvipana vatsalya sakya madureta kare sankolchana. On the transcendental platform of neutrality and service, sometimes the opulence of the Lord is prominent. But in the transcendental mellows of fraternal, parental and conjugal love, the opulence is minimized. Next verse. Vasudeva Devaki Krishna Charana Vandila Aishwarya Jnane Dunhara Mane Baya Haila. When Krishna offered prayers at the lotus feet of his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, they both felt awe, reverence and fear due to knowledge of his opulence. So we'll read a couple more verses and then we'll try to understand the last couple of verses. Because daily the entire gamut of Krishna's relationships are described. But we'll just focus on two of them. Like Arjuna's relationship when he got astonished by seeing the universal form. And also we'll focus on Vasudeva and Devaki, because their names are stressed here two times. Devaki Vasudevascha Vijnaya Jagadishwaram Krita Samvandanam Putra Shashvajate Nashankitav. When Devaki and Vasudeva understood their two sons, Krishna and Balaram, who had paid obeisances to them by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they became fearful and did not embrace them. Then there is one more verse about Arjuna's fear when he saw the Vishwarup. Krishnera Vishwarupa Deki Arjunera Haila Bhaya Sakya Bhave Dastya Shamapaya Kariya Vinaya. When Krishna manifested his universal form, Arjuna became reverent and fearful. And he begged forgiveness for his past impudence towards Krishna as a friend. Then the next, last two verses. So these are direct words of Arjuna in Gita. Sanketi matva prasabam yaduktam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Saketi. Ajanatha mahimanam tavedam maya pramadat pranayena vapi. Yacha vahasatam asatkritoshi. Vihara shayashana bhojaneshu. Eko tavapi achutakat samaksham takshamayetvam ahamaprameyam. So these are the words Arjuna spoke when he was shivering in fear. So he's saying, thinking of you, Krishna, thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend. Not knowing your glories, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, laying on the same bed or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all of those offenses. So this is Arjuna asking forgiveness from Krishna. After seeing his universal form, Arjuna became fearful of who really Krishna is. So the verse that is described about how Devaki and Vasudeva, they became fearful and how they did not embrace Krishna and Balaram when they paid obeisances. So that verse is actually a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Prabhupada. So just to, if you back up the camera a little bit, what happened in the arena. So this really happened in that wrestling arena, where Krishna had this wrestling match with Kamsa's people and eventually Kamsa himself. So that, when Krishna and Balaram and when they assembled in the wrestling arena, so many people, they surrounded them in the city. So also many people came all the way from Vraj, and then they want to see the match because it's a famous thing. It's like we are, this WWF, it's very famous. With Krishna, and in those days also there was wrestling, it seems. So they had this match and all the people were standing and surrounding them. And we'll go to the final part later. But actually what is interesting is when they were standing, even though they were standing as Kshatriyas, very powerful men, very muscular, you know, so much power that they could wrestle with people who are Kamsa's people. So the different people, even when they were seeing Krishna, they were seeing differently. So because these verses talk about so many relationships with Krishna, some with awe, with awe and reverence, some without awe and reverence, and then loving relationships of lovers, friends, parents and everything. There is one description there by Shukdev Goswami to Parashit Maharaj about how different people saw Krishna differently in Bhagavatam. So it said that there were many wrestlers also, of course. They were also seeing Krishna because Krishna is so beautiful. Even the enemies, when they see Krishna, they became enticed so much. So the wrestlers, they saw Krishna as a lightning bolt. That's how it's described. They saw Krishna as a lightning bolt. And then all the men of Mathura, they saw Krishna as the best of all males. Best of all males. And the women, they saw Cupid in person. And the cowherd men who were watching, they saw Krishna as their relative. So they didn't see Krishna as a lightning bolt or anything. They saw his, I am my relative is fighting, something like that. And the, all the empire's rulers who are under the jurisdiction of Kamsa, they saw Krishna as a chastiser. And the parents of Krishna saw them as their child. So here now, the opulence of Krishna is still not there yet. Yeah, even though Krishna is there on the wrestling match, Krishna could lose also. So no one knows the outcome. So right now, parents are seeing Krishna as a child. The king of Bojas, they saw Krishna as a death. The unintelligent saw Krishna as another material form. He's just another material form. He's another form, another body, another wrestler. And the yogis, they saw Krishna as the absolute truth. Because that's what they're trying. The yogis, they're trying to attain that absolute truth by so many yogic meditations and practices. And the Vrishnis, they saw as Krishna, the supreme worshipable deity. So in this way, even before the wrestling match began, people are having different type of relationships with the Lord. And the Lord also reciprocated with them lovingly. Because he made everyone feel that they are very special. They had a very special relationship with him. So there was no question of jealousy or envy. So everyone felt very special in their relationship. So then the wrestling match happened, and we know that Krishna killed Kamsa at the end. And then after that, what happened was a lot of kettle drums, they resounded in the sky. And Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the other devatas, demigods, all the expansions of the Lord, what they all did is they rained flowers upon them with a lot of pleasure. And they all chanted mantras, they chanted his praise. And all the wives of the demigods and gods, they all danced in ecstasy. So at this time what happened was, because Kamsa was killed, he had many wives, and they all now became widows. And they came forward now at this moment. And then their eyes were filled with tears, and they were sobbing and literally beating their heads. They mentioned how the beautiful city now has lost its beauty. Because that's because they are wives naturally, very attached to him. And so just as we have lost our beauty now, the city has lost its beauty, they mentioned. And all our good fortune and all the good fortune of the city has come to an end. So actually what they say sounds very opposite, because Kamsa was causing trouble to innocent people, killing their babies with the fear that one of them will be Krishna, and he caused so much atrocities. But still these ladies were saying the opposite, actually. So that's natural, that when someone is attached, they become blind of the reality. There's a lot of experience. We can know that. By living in this material world, anyone can understand that. So while saying this, and then what they said was, they started speaking differently suddenly. They started saying that all the fortune has come to an end, and you have been brought to this state because of the terrible violence that you committed against innocent creatures. And the mentality shifted now. And then how can one attain happiness if they commit such violence to innocent creatures? So how can one be happy? How can anyone who harms others be happy? That's what is their statement. So now they are speaking, they're speaking now practical wisdom. They're speaking truths of Vedanta now. And then they started saying, Lord Krishna, he's the one who causes all the appearance and disappearance of all human beings, and all the beings, not just human beings, all the beings. And he's the maintainer. And they said that anyone who disrespects this Lord, such a person cannot be happy. So then they said, you have met, you have met your end. So this way, the way they were crying, their voice and their understanding and their mood shifted so much. And that is because of Krishna's association that the shift happened. They got purified by the association of Krishna. So now after this, Krishna, he consoled them. And he told them that, you have met with great misfortune today. So even though Kamsa is pretty much like Krishna's enemy here, but he had a lot of compassion for them, and he assured them that it's my obligation to protect you, and you should not worry. And in this way, he consoled, and he, Krishna himself, arranged for the funeral rites and everything. So this is how amazing Krishna is, that he killed Kamsa, and he's arranging the funeral rites as well, and he's consoling Kamsa's wives and giving them assurance that he will protect them. He will protect them. So just after this, this incident happened about with Devaki and Vasudeva. Just after this incident, just right after that moment. So I thought it's good to meditate on that entire scene in Krishna's pastime. So then Krishna and Balaram, they now released Vasudeva and Devaki from the bondage that they were under Kamsa, and he offered obeisances and he touched their feet on his head. So now at this time, Devaki and Vasudeva, they remembered all the events that were related to Krishna's birth. So because they remember how Krishna, he appeared with a four-armed Narayana form. So that is the protocol, that he appears like that to let everyone know that not an ordinary child has born. So in this way, they knew about, they recalled all those things. So, special birth. That just imagine when a baby is just came out of the womb and having four arms, it will freak anyone out. And this is what they were like, astonished at that time itself. And they recalled all those things. And they witnessed the immense power of Krishna now after the wrestling match when he killed Kamsa. Immense power. Amazing power that they witnessed the power. And because they saw the Lord of the universe, they saw Jagadishwara, because of that, they saw the Lord, they just could not embrace Krishna. They couldn't embrace him. Because once that knowledge is there, then this it cripples the love. It cripples the Vatsalya Bhav when the knowledge is there. So that's what happened. It crippled their Vatsalya Bhav. And they also couldn't, they wanted to bow down, but they couldn't bow down. It's not possible because it's not a very custom for parents to bow down to their children. It's the other way around. So they just didn't bow down. And so they were just paralyzed in fear. They stood paralyzed in fear with their joined palms. They couldn't embrace, they couldn't bow down because of this. The knowledge, the gyan that, he is the Lord. He is the Lord of the universe. This verse says Jagadishwara, Lord of the universe. So that's the scene of Devaki and Vasudeva. And then further talks about, there is also a description of Yashoda Devi in she got astonished. She also got astonished at, we know that how when she saw the entire Brahmanda under Krishna's mouth, she got astonished. But there's one other time where she got astonished, when she witnessed the universal form while feeding Krishna with her breast milk. We'll come to that later after we talk a little bit about Arjuna's astonishment. Because the reason why they are mentioned side to side in Chaitanya Charitamrita is because they both saw the universal form, Yashoda and Arjuna, and how they were in awe and reverence. So the verse, that Gita verses that we saw in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Arjuna got astonished, Arjuna was saying that, I was thinking you as a friend by calling you jokingly, oh Yadava, oh my friend, oh Krishna, so like that. So Arjuna, when he saw those thousand heads, he started praising and offering these respects. So now Arjuna had a friendship, a friendly relation, pranaya relation. And now that became mixed with knowledge after seeing Krishna with thousand heads, the millions of, you know, all this ghastly form. So many universes coming out, going in, people coming out, going in the teeth of the Lord. And then he saw even time personified. So like this, Arjuna, when now his friendship is pranaya is mixed with jnata of the Lord. So that's what the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, knowledge of the supremacy of the Lord, that got mixed in right now. So that's why now he is in fear. So then he was saying that, I was seeing you without this knowledge. I was behaving with you, addressing you, treating you without this knowledge. He uses the word ajnata. Ajnanata. Without, ajnanata means without realization. Without realization, ajnanata. So generally people think jnan means knowledge and realization is something separate, but they both are tied together. Because if without realization, then it's really called no knowledge. Knowledge means with realization. So ajnanata means without realization. So I was thinking of you as only my friend, without realizing your supremacy. And then your greatness, he says that the greatness of your universal form with thousand heads. By seeing your greatness, I realized that, you know, I was speaking to you very carelessly, very disrespectfully. He uses the word pramada, disrespectfully. And he also was mentioning that I was doing this out of affection as a friend. Pranayena. So disrespectfully, I was treating you with affection, but disrespectfully. And now I'm begging forgiveness. So what he said was he called Krishna just Krishna. So, but he has to really address with the prefix Sri. Otherwise, it's disrespectful. You know, in the Vedic culture, one has to address with the prefix Sri. So instead of calling Sri Krishna, he showed Krishna. He said, oh, Krishna. So that's an act of disrespect. He realized that. And then he realized that I have addressed you as oh Yadava. So even oh Yadava is disrespectful. Because that's not how people are called. In Yadava, for example, there is another person in Yadava who's a prominent person. He should be called as oh best of the Yadus. Oh best of the Yadus. That's how he should have addressed. But instead he disrespectfully addressed oh Yadava. He didn't announce Krishna's high position in that family. Krishna had a very high position in that family. Oh, should say, oh, best of the Yadus. So that's another mistake. And then by addressing him as friend is also disrespectful. I addressed you as a friend, which is disrespectful, Arjuna feels. It's because whenever friends behave with each other, they treat themselves as equal. If they treat themselves as subordinate or superior, that is not friendship. That is called guru-disciple, master-servant relationship. So friends means treat everyone as equal. So I called you as friend and that is disrespectful because I treated you as my equal. So he's feeling remorse for that. So and then he further goes on that play, talking about playing, resting, sitting, eating, joking, and then speaking in a very straightforward way. Because a respectful way of speaking is to speak in a very suggestive indirect way. When we speak to some big person, we shouldn't speak straightforward. We have to be politically correct also. So, but he was very straightforward and truthful, very open, and this way I insulted you. I insulted you not only alone, but I insulted you even in the presence of all other friends. Joking friends. He says, Tat Samaksham. Tat Samaksham. In between all the friends, I disrespected you. So then he says, for this treatment I gave you, which is offensive, please forgive me. He asked 1,000 times forgiveness. And then he feels that you are But you remained a friend unfailingly in spite of all that. He mentions a word called aprameyam. Aprameyam is inconceivable power. So he signals that you remained a friend unfailingly, even after you endured all these offenses that I committed. And that is only possible. That is only possible because generally people will get offended if someone breaches the protocol. But you remained an unfailing friend. It's possible only because of your inconceivable power. So you know that is why you use the word achintya so much. Very inconceivable. Here Rajana uses the word aprameyam, inconceivable power. But there is a reason for the familiarity also. Because the familiarity that Arjuna had is normal actually in one sense, from another point of view. So it is, so Sri Baladevidya Bhushan, he talks in this way, the one that we just described. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he starts to look at another angle. So, because if we see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also uses the same point of view, then that doesn't increase the pleasure of understanding of Krishna. So he understands Arjuna's feelings and he supports Arjuna for him, for his familiarity. So the reason Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives, is he says, "Oh Krishna, you are the well-known son of Vasudeva, who is not famous. So you are not famous. You are well-known son of Vasudeva. You are not so famous because you are just a son of Vasudeva. Vasudeva, he is famous because you are still a small boy like that. You are a human. You are a mediocre fighter. You are a mediocre fighter because Krishna was not known as a great fighter or anything. He was a great person, but still." He had his superiors. But Arjuna was known as a great fighter. Arjuna was very famous like that. So even Krishna is telling, praising Arjuna that, you know, oh best of the, like that. Why should Krishna do that? So because really Arjuna was a great person. So it's possible to develop familiarity. You are a mediocre fighter. And one reason for being labeling Krishna as a mediocre fighter is Krishna is not sitting on his own chariot when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Krishna was sitting on his own chariot. He's sitting on the chariot of another person, of Arjuna. So the chariot, if it is one's own chariot, it's called Atiratha. Atiratha. If it is another person's chariot, it's called Ardharatha. Vishwanath says that. So you are sitting in another person's chariot. So anyway, there is an excuse for familiarity. This is how he analyzes. But Arjuna, I am the son of a king Pandu. He's a great warrior. I'm a great warrior fighting on my own chariot, Atiratha. Then, Yadava, you don't have a king's position in Yadu dynasty. Yeah, very, very true. Yeah, I didn't have a king's position in Yadu's dynasty. But I had the kingship over Puru dynasty. So like that, you know, giving an excuse for familiarity. You know, VCT is going into the mind of Arjuna. So there is a reason for that familiarity. But after seeing the universal form, everything changes. So let's look at the difference between the devotees in Gokula Vrindavan, their mentality, and the devotees outside that region, their mentality in terms of this on reverence. So what will happen if universal form is shown to any one of those Gokula devotees? Because they can analyze for many devotees. Or Acharyas must have done the work. But let's take one example here, because Yashoda Devi is described. And Arjuna is also described. So when Yashoda Devi, when she saw the universe in Krishna's mouth, her heart started throbbing. When she was feeding Krishna with her breast milk, and Krishna opened his mouth, at that time also she once again saw the universal form. And her heart started throbbing. She became restless and she closed her eyes. And we can see the different verses in Bhagavatam that talks about this. So instead of just telling, describing the verse, I will just go ahead and read the verse from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. What could be better than that? So this is in the 10th canto, 8th chapter. Mother Yashoda began to argue with herself when she became astonished when she saw that while feeding milk to Krishna. And she started saying, is this a dream or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence or is it some mystic power of my dear child? Therefore, let me surrender unto this Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him. So this is what Yashoda is saying. Okay, I'll stop. Who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of His existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for He is beyond my contemplation, speculation and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities as well. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaja is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaja, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I am also eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yoga Maya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Immediately forgetting Yoga Maya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap just as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Shankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literatures. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. So here we can see how there is a shift happening. Mother Yashoda also became astonished, just like Arjuna. Oh no, this is my Supreme Lord. I am in illusion thinking that this Nanda is my husband, this Krishna is my son, and all this cowherd community are under me, under our family, like under our rulership, under our protection shelter. I'm just in illusion. So I'm just a subordinate servant of Krishna. I'm not all these things. That's what she's saying. And then gradually, by the influence of Yoga Maya inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. So we can see how a lot of times it's thought that bhakti is something done by willpower. But no, bhakti is the influence of Swarup Shakti, that's in the internal potency. Of course, a person can be has to be sincere, one who's aspiring for it. But really, it's bhakti that influences a person. The person is become sincere and person can desire that. But actually, the bhakti devi has to cast her grace and mercy on the person. So for the case of Arjuna, he got stunned as well. He got this lot of fear. But then again, he preferred to see the two-handed form again. But still Arjuna could remember that all of those, all the shock, the astonishment that he had. And then he surrendered to the Lord. He surrendered. He's saying, you are my guru, I am your disciple. So what happened? That friendship shifted to guru-disciple kind of a relationship, master-servant relationship with awe and reverence. And he has still a friend, but mixed with the knowledge. But here what Yoga Maya did was Yoga Maya completely cast off that feeling. So it's not that Mother Yashoda started saying, now I'm your disciple, you are my guru. No, Mother Yashoda was cast by Yoga Maya. And then again she became, she got increased affection as a mother, That's what it says here. Feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. So one may question, what is the purpose of showing this Vishwarup to Mother Yashoda, if anyway it cannot do anything to that, anything to her feelings? Because in the end, again, she got increased affection. Yeah, that is one thing. But it's still the same. Still Vatsalya continued after that. So it was only a temporary phase. Then what is the purpose behind it? What is the purpose behind it? Is it the Krishna is showing his muscles? No. So really, what's happening is there is something called Vishmaya Rasa in the Rasa Tattva. Vishmaya Rasa means Rasa of astonishment. Rasa of astonishment. So that is also a feeling in the Rasa theory, that the pleasure potency wants to make Yashoda's love ever new and ever fresh. Ever new and ever fresh. So the modern words, putting a spice in her relationship with Krishna. So this, by this Vishmaya Rasa, pleasure potency is making her love ever new and ever fresh. So the rasa of ever fresh, and because Yashoda Mai is not tasting the other side of Krishna, which is the Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti. So this, by adding this Vishmaya Rasa, the rasa of astonishment, pleasure potency is making Yashoda taste Aishwarya Shakti, Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti. And then by making her taste this just a little bit, pleasure potency is increasing her love, making it ever new and ever fresh. That is the reasoning given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And another reason is the obvious reason to establish the supremacy of Vatsalya Bhava over Aishwarya Bhava. Because if Mother Yashoda now got completely enamored by the Aishwarya Bhava of the Lord by looking at this, and from now on, He is my Lord, I am subordinate, I am a surrendered soul. If she continues on like that, then it is obvious that Aishwarya Bhav is superior to Vatsalya Bhav. But here, just to establish the fact that Vatsalya Bhav is superior over Aishwarya Bhav, this kind of thing is added in between. And then Vatsalya Bhav increased after this because of Vishmaya Rasa. So by this adding of spice, Vatsalya Bhav increased. So this is again to prove this fact that this pastimes was enacted by the pleasure potency, by the Yogamaya potency. So just this difference between the different devotees and their moods, which are equally pleasing to Krishna. And of course, Krishna has things that are very very dear to him, no doubt. But to limited way that we can grasp these things, it's very sweet to know about them. Okay, I can think I can stop this here. Jai Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for pranam to Srila Prabhupada. First of all, thank you so much for a very, very interesting class. As usual, I get to learn a lot when you speak. I have some comments and a question. I won't say question, but I just want you to correct my understanding, whether the way I've understood this correct. So first of all, the comments, Prabhu, it was very nice to hear about how Arjuna was actually, he changed his mood when you were talking. And that verse talks about Arjuna changing his mood. So Arjuna was calling him. Arjuna said, I had previously called you, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava. You explained that very well, why, it should actually be, he should rather be addressed as best of the Yadavas or properly with respect as Krishna. But Arjuna was doing that because out of his familiarity, and he knew that he was a great fighter, whereas Krishna was not really well known as a great fighter, or he was not recorded in that sense. So that was a very beautiful explanation, and it was very, very sweet to know that. And also I was just thinking about Krishna, when you were mentioning about this relationship with Arjuna, and then later how Arjuna saw the universal form and his mood changed. I was just thinking about Krishna. Actually, when you talk with your superiors, you were mentioning this, you give a lot of respect, you don't take them very casually. But it's so interesting how Krishna himself, who's God, I mean, like if someone does that to us, I was thinking probably, you know, it may be like, you know, in a derogatory manner, if someone talks to us, like at least me or anyone like that, normal people feel so, we find it very awkward. And we think, oh, why is this person talking like this? We have so much ego, you know. But whereas here is Krishna, who's the Supreme Lord, and he's so happy about it.
Yes.
So I was thinking that's so nice. The Lord is so magnanimous. He's so wonderful. And there is so much, the Lord actually should have the maximum ego because he's everything. But the Lord doesn't have ego. I mean, ego in the pride of being the greatest. So that is so nice. It's so heart-melting, actually. And then, you know, you were saying bhakti is not by willpower, but it is by the mercy of Bhakti Devi. That is also very, very beautiful, the way Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, you were actually quoting him. And his realization, that was beautiful, Prabhu. So now comes my question, understanding to discuss, is that when comparing between Yoga Maya Shakti, that is taking over Yashoda Devi, that is Yashoda Devi's reaction versus Devaki's reaction. Now, you said Devaki's reaction, this is of course, this is how everything is understood in a general sense, that Devaki had this Aishwarya, she had this awe and reverence, and hence she couldn't embrace her child, and as the verse was saying. But whereas Yashoda, when she saw the universal form, Yoga Maya took over, and then she came back and she thought, this is my child, right? So now comes to the, my question is, then it is not the fault of Devaki's Aishwarya, but rather it is the, I would say, I mean, like just for argument's sake, I'm saying, isn't it not Yoga Maya who is favoring Yashoda over Devaki? If the same Yoga Maya tried to favor Devaki, then even Devaki would have gone back to losing her Aishwarya feeling, right?
Yes.
That was actually acting on Yashoda rather than the Yoga Maya potency. How do you explain that, Prabhu? Can you elaborate on that?
Hi. When it was Vasudeva and Devaki, let's say that, so ultimately the behavior that they showed and how Yoga Maya is also enacting, it ultimately depends on the knowledge of the person. That's why it is said that everything is knowledge, right? Gyan. So when the knowledge arises in the person that this Lord is Supreme Lord, then immediately that awe and reverence increases. So really what Yoga Maya is doing is she's taking that knowledge off for Yashoda. But she did not do that for Devaki and Vasudeva, because for Devaki and Vasudeva, the way they worship the Lord in their sadhana, the way they worship the Lord is not with this mood.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't worship. Krishna is pretty much Yoga Maya and Krishna. They're giving what they want actually. They did not worship with that mood of the foster son of Yashoda. They did not worship in that mood. They were worshiping, oh, this is the Supreme Lord. I want the Supreme Lord to be my son. That's all. Their goal and their desire was not that I want to play with him, I want to feed him, I want to make him, sleep, I want to cuddle him, I want to, I want to give him butter, they did not have that kind of desire. They want the Supreme Lord to be their son, that's all. So they are being satisfied with that. So they are, Krishna is reciprocating with them accordingly, and Yoga Maya is facilitating it accordingly. They wanted to have that on reverence, because as it is said that in order to get this kind of Gokula love of Krishna, it can only be attained by the mercy of those devotees. But if someone sits and does penance, then that is not possible. We saw even there's an example given about Lakshmi Devi to enter Rasa dance. So by doing penance and austerities, which they did, it's not possible to attain the Gokula mode. So you know, that's they have to get their mercy in order to get that mood. But again, that's not what they were desiring also.
Right.
Krishna doesn't give it to them. Yogamaya doesn't give it. It's only by the mercy of those devotees in Gokula one can get it.
Uh-huh. Okay, I understand. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. This was very clear. So coming back to this Vishmaya Rasa, which you were talking about with Yashoda. So basically, Yashoda's awe and reverence at that point in time was just that Vishmaya Rasa to increase her excitement or increase her love for Krishna. That's all. It was not like the same awe and reverence that Devaki had. So that is the point you were trying to make?
Yes, that's what the verse mentions after that. The three verses that talks about how her love increased and, her affectionate, motherly affection increased. Instead of going towards the Aishwarya side, it went more towards the Vatsalya side. So therefore, it is a Vishmaya.
Oh, fantastic.
Vishmaya Rasa.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah,
I really like the way you... Even this was also very nice when you were talking about what they desire previously and then how Yogamaya just facilitates that. So that made a lot of sense. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Very, very, very beautiful class. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Vishnu Chakran Chakur Baladevi Devotion. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol. Thank you.
Okay, anyone would like to add anything or we can wrap up?
Anyone else has any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu, again. Thank you. वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च
साकल्पतरुभ्यश्च पासंदेभ्यश्च पतितं
नमः अनंतकोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय
हरे
भक्तनोद प्रभु की जय
हरे ऑल द वैष्णव समलोक हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू
हरि बोल थैंक यू माता हरि बोल